Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines Gel Flex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Got them screaming D-Lo, KC, D-Lo, KC, D-Lo, KC, D-Lo. We got them screaming D-Lo, KC, D-Lo, KC, D-Lo, D-Lo. We your number one spot. We your number one spot for some sports, huh? Got the city going crazy when we work, huh? We top two, but we ain't two. We in first, huh? And when you need the real, we is who you search, huh? D-Lo, KC, D-Lo, KC, D-Lo, KC, D-Lo. We your number one spot.
What it do, baby? What it do? What it do? What it do? What's up? Back in here with a new week. One more time. Hey, we welcome you in here to the August 12th edition, the Monday, August 12th edition, episode number 993.
Ooh.
Episode number 993.
Let's go.
Here at D-Lo and KC, I'm Damian Barling.
The ultimate needle mover.
He's Kenny Caraway.
Yes, sir.
Acknowledge me.
Great way to count down the kickoff to a 1,000 episodes is we did a little podcast with Deuce and Mo.
Yeah, man. Shout out Deuce and Mo.
Been a well, honestly, we didn't think we were allowed to talk to them anymore.
I didn't know when it was. You know?
But we had a great conversation with them, and that podcast is available for you right now wherever you get your podcast from. Already gotten great feedback on that, so appreciate everybody who has checked that out, man. What a fantastic. So as we talk about the kickoff to 1,000 episode, our 1,000th episode, what a conclusion to the Paris Olympics. I thought the handoff to Los Angeles yesterday was extraordinary. We'll talk about that later. But man, oh man, the two gold medal games, USA versus France, were nothing short of epic. And we questioned whether Steph Curry had added to his legacy in that semifinal matchup and, you know, what it would take in the gold medal matchup for that to kind of be solidified. Well, more Steph pretty much solidified things. That man had an absolutely just monumental final two games of the Olympics when it was money time, when it was medal round time. Steph Curry showed out and put a performance on that I think will be remembered forever.
Absolutely, man. That was an all-time basketball moment. All-time basketball moment. I'm not going to go as far as Greeny went this morning. He settled down, Greeny. Like, why? Why are we doing that? But
what'd he say?
He said the step back that, you know, sealed the deal was the greatest shot in basketball history.
All right, Green.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I really enjoyed everything. It was great to see. Like, why?
I don't know why people have to do that. Like, let it live. Just let it live for a minute. Like, let it just stop it.
Yeah, just.
I don't know why people feel. Well, I do, because it's TV and whatever.
Well, I understand that. I said a week ago that Noah Lyles' 100-meter dash was one of the greatest moments in Olympic moments in our lifetime. I mean, I stand by
Did
that.
Did it age poorly?
No, I don't think so.
In the moment, it's like, yeah. And then, like, the 200 gets here, and it's like, oh, he didn't get the 200. Oh, wait, he's got COVID. Oh, his Olympics are over.
Wait, what is this story?
Like, what is this?
He aged poorly.
Oh.
But I still say, I mean, that moment was, like, well, that's one of the best Olympic moments we've ever seen.
If France had beaten the U.S., the semifinal game would have been diminished, no?
Yeah, a little bit.
Okay.
A little bit. Yeah, for sure.
I know it's different with runners. Like, he won a bronze medal, right? Like, he won something. It's just like everything since he crossed the finish line has been kind of weird.
No, it absolutely has. That was the high watermark for him, for sure.
Right.
Olympics. But no, I mean, that every 100-meter dash that we see for the rest of our lifetime, they'll be showing highlights of that one.
Yeah.
Like, it's going to live forever. So. Yeah. But, I mean, yeah, Greeny tripping on that one.
Only thing closer than the 100-meter dash was the women's gold medal game.
Yeah, right. That was a crazy finish.
That was sickening.
Now, see, I didn't get a chance to watch that live. Went back, saw everything that was going on. Already knew what happened.
Yeah.
But that was I was sick.
I was sick. It was early, so we were walking. And then, you know, it's getting to, like, the final minutes, so we kind of, like, stopped at the park, and I watched the final, like, 2 minutes. I was sick. Like, I don't want to say I thought they were going to lose, but I did question whether they were going to win. I was watching that, like, come on, man. And I knew, I know, like, when you lose, stuff happens, man, and I knew this would blow up a lot. If they lost, and man, Asia and Stewie and Copper to the rescue.
Yes,
man, they got the job done.
Asia say?
Said she's that bitch. That's what she said. And the best part is, it's give me one word to describe her. That bitch. And left. Like, well, that's. All right, that's as funny as Anthony Davis. I got two words, and it was like Steph Curry and LeBron James or something. Like, what?
That was hilarious.
All right, it's funny.
That was funny. Man, I was telling Kyle and James during the handoff, and look, I'm biased about it. You know, I love basketball. I love basketball. Basketball gives you moments that I just feel you can't get anywhere else. I'm not here to say one's better. We all know you pull up the ratings and all this other stuff. The NFL is king and all this other stuff, but not just basketball, the games, but everything surrounding it, the show that's surrounding it. And I talked about it a little bit after the semifinal game with Travis Scott and Quavo there. But come on, man, Steph is doing what he's doing. Carmelo's there with Kion. Stephon Marbury is there. I mean, it's just they're courtside. You know, Steph is looking at these guys, giving them the sleepy, and LeBron is dapping up these guys. I mean, it's just, I love basketball. Basketball is a one of one, you know, as far as the show and everything that's surrounding it. And it was on full display in these two gold medal games, man. It was just. Basketball is the best for me. I love basketball.
It felt like there were a lot of, like, those introspective moments after the game for guys like Kevin Durant, who didn't rule out playing in Los Angeles, for LeBron James, who I think after the Serbia game said, you know, I don't know how many more moments I'm going to have like this. Steph, everyone knew, like, this was the one for Steph. He had the world championships in the past, like, he wanted an Olympic gold medal, and it solidified, like, This was their Olympics. Yeah. This was their Olympic team.
Yeah.
Those three players, this was theirs. And, you know, we'll talk about it later, but things are going to look a lot different in Los Angeles.
Mm-hmm. Things are going to look different in Los Angeles. And it's going to be a battle. It's going to be a real battle. I put them as the favorites. Don't be surprised if USA comes up short in LA.
Mm.
This is a special group that we just saw, and you don't just recreate that out of nowhere.
Yeah, there's no LeBron.
There's no Steph. Yeah.
And there's no, well, KD could be KD. Mm-hmm. Could be KD. He could be 4 years older. Mm-hmm. He'd be like, not that there's anything wrong with that. He could do it. Like, Diana played on the women's Olympic team. Like, mm-hmm. Diana was on the bench when the game was the closest.
Right.
You know, that's when the young puppies was out there getting that work in.
And another thing about this, going back to Steph Curry, and I don't we've had this conversation about, like, who influences a culture and all this other stuff, and when we bring this up, we go, and I'm not like disagreeing, I'm just like mm-hmm. kind of put, when we bring this up, you'd be like, yeah, LeBron can't be LeBron. You can't be him. You can't mm-hmm. be 6'8", 6'9", mm-hmm. 230, whatever, fast, jump, all this other stuff.
Right.
Steph, these kids see him, and that's more relatable. That's more doable. You can work on your jump shot and all this mm-hmm. other stuff.
If I work hard enough, I could do that. I also, it's so humorous, we act like Steph is a little guy.
Right, 6'3".
Steph's like 6'3".
But the thing about it that I'd say, we ain't never going to see another Steph Curry.
Oh, God, no.
Mm-mm. They can think they can attain it all they mm-mm. want.
Yeah.
It's the greatest shooter we will ever see in our lives.
Yeah.
And there will never be another Steph Curry.
The
idea just will never be another one.
The idea that the golden dagger is the greatest shot in basketball history, it feels a little silly mm-hmm. a day removed from the game, 2 days removed from the game. But the picture over Wemby might be one of the greatest sports sports photographs ever taken.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't look real. I went to Getty Images because I needed to see the real photo. Because I was like, that's not, like, what did they do? Like, how did they make Wemby that long? Like, what is that, like, some sort of stretch feature in Photoshop? I had to see the actual image from the photographer before I believed that picture. I think Don was the first person I saw post it.
Mm.
And I was like, how'd you do that? That's what I kept like, how'd you do that? And then I was like, oh, God, one, that's really what Wemby looks like.
Yeah.
And two, Steph really got the ball over him like that. Man. That's up there with Ali's Phantom Punch.
It was
Sonny Liston.
Allegedly.
Allegedly. Yeah. Well, if you look close enough.
Steph got another one, though, that USA one in the semifinals.
Yeah.
It's iconic.
Yeah, that's absolutely special.
Yeah, man. It's just, I was thinking about that as, you know, I saw the highlights of him. And it was highlights because I missed it all. Missed it all live.
Well, first of all, we're glad you're here, pal. Let's not. We probably glossed over the league story.
We had a couple moments, too.
Oh,
we had
okay.
I won't lie. I was thinking, so I was like, damn, that'd be crazy if the Bears got Kenny and he missed out on this great game.
Yeah, because we know Jazz and the kids would have got away, so they would have been fine. It just would have been Kenny, and it would have been tough that you missed the game.
Yeah, but I'm here, but I'll talk about it. I had a great time. But
I realized there was a certain point on Sunday where I hadn't heard from you, like in any group text. Or
nobody was hearing from me or anybody
so
out there.
So I was like,
it wasn't happening.
I almost put out a message, and then you responded to something, I think, in our thread with Kamara, who was just like pouring his heart out to this, like, to this text thread. And he was pouring his heart out so much, I didn't know how to respond. So I just left it.
And I couldn't respond. So yeah. I'm sorry, Kamara. You're not even wrong. I understand everything you're saying. Everything you're saying is right. But I can't say nothing. You're not going to get this message.
I can't wait to hear about your trip to Yosemite. I can't.
In life, some days are good and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile, and on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former all-pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for four episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.
Can't wait to talk more about USA basketball and what it might look like next. And I'm so excited to get started with MAP training and MAPtrician. If you head over to MAPtrician.com right now, use the promo code DLO1320 at checkout. You'll get 10% off your order. I got my BCAAs from them. I got my fat burner from them. I told you, Donut Friday's over for your boy for a little while. They have this cravings crusher thing that goes along with the fat burner, man. Okay. It is working wonders right now. And I'm getting back into tip top shape at 45. Best believe that. They even got a little sleep enhancer that works for me. Again, use the promo code DLO1320 at checkout at MAPtrician.com. All of these supplements are developed by my man Greg. Like, so if you have questions about him, he'll tell you why he did it. He'll tell you exactly why he put them together that way. So we'll come back. Kenny was not eaten by bears. We'll find out about his trip to Yosemite. And, well, you kind of... What is next for USA basketball? Mm. We'll talk about it. Steelo and KC here on ESPN 1320. This is going to be a show-long like rabbit hole for us, trying to figure out how much shows like The Office, Modern Family, Seinfeld get paid off of like reruns.
Are those The Office and Modern Family, are those the two biggest syndicated shows right now?
I think The Office... Seinfeld. I think Seinfeld's up there too. You know what?
Maybe my fault. Not money wise, but just activity wise. Like they're on three stations.
Yeah, because they're on multiple stations. Yeah. Another one that's on multiple stations is Two and a Half Men.
Yeah, that's
Two and a Half Men is on a lot of different stations too. So yeah, that's facts.
They say Friends is up there. I feel like I don't see Friends outside of Nickelodeon.
I think Friends is on TBS or was on TBS. I don't know.
I don't know either.
But I'm going to keep searching every commercial break. So I'm going to close this tab where Dwight Schrute is trying to explain residuals and figure this out later. Goodness gracious. If you want to get in on the phone lines, man, they are open for you. 916-909-1320. Before we get to or back to USA basketball, you know, there was some concern within the members of the Chatty House and the D'Lo and KC community that Friday might have been it.
Well, I didn't pop up on social media till Sunday. So I was gone.
You were gone.
I was gone, man. So, I
can confirm we've been working together for the last few hours. You both of your legs, your feet, you're not missing any toes, any hands, like nothing like that.
I'm here.
You're still 100% intact.
I'm still standing. I'm still strong.
That's a shoot.
No, man, Yosemite was very, very nice. Very nice. I mean, it was. I'm not like the biggest nature guy or nothing like that, but I mean the sight lines and everything there was just jaw dropping. You see that stuff and it makes you say, like, for some people, it's like, man, there's got to be a God. Because who would have done this on purpose? You know what I mean? This is somebody else's mind to put this big of a boulder right here, mm-hmm. and somehow just gets carved this type of way, or put these trees here. Like, it's gotta be a God. Like, who else is putting this stuff here? But it was fantastic. One of the things that I realized, I didn't realize it, I knew this, but it came up again. When I'm in danger to a certain degree, or perceived or possible danger, one of my coping mechanisms is to just go to sleep.
Okay,
that's what I do. So, for instance, one time we were on me and Jazz were on I think I've told the story, but a Southwest flight, and a little bit after we took off, a bird went into the engine.
Mm-hmm.
And you heard it. You kind of could smell like smoke or something like that. And you heard it, right? We were almost like right next to the engine. We heard it,
mm-hmm.
and you know, it was like a 6 a.m. flight or something like mm-hmm. that. And Jazz is like, "Hey, Kenny, I think something's wrong with the engine. I think the engine's out or whatever." And we're, you know, however 100,000 feet in there. Yeah. I don't know how high they go, but we're up there, and I'm just like, I'm gonna go to sleep.
Mm.
what can I do?
Mm-hmm.
I can't do nothing. Well, I can't do nothing. So I'm going to sleep. That's what I did. So I say that to say,
and I'll say this because I know the first thing that might be coming to people's mind is, why don't you calm your wife down? She's clearly concerned. Knowing Jazz pretty well, it wouldn't have worked. Like, you just would have got on her nerves.
She would have been even more upset.
So it was in the best interest of you, Jasmine, and probably the entire Southwest flight for you to try to go to sleep.
That's it, man. I'm gonna go to sleep. I can't fly the plane. I can't land the plane.
I can't go get the bird out of the engine.
Yeah, I'm just go to sleep. So we had like an emergency landing and everything happened. So on the way up there, I had a long Friday night. So we got up
early. Just all more confirmation that you hate birds, by the way.
I didn't do that to the bird. I didn't do nothing. I didn't do nothing. I don't have no problem with the birds, man. Come on, man. I got love for the birds.
Summer of 2023 says different.
They ain't come back either. I don't know what happened.
I guess they learned their lesson after crossing the Caraway compound.
I didn't do nothing. It was hot as hell. Well, that's what happened there. But so, they wanted to leave at like 3 a.m. And I was like getting in the house at like 1:30. So they're like, it was already determined. Like, I'll drive up there. My wife, she's like, I'll drive up there, whatever the case may be. So we're driving, and to get to Yosemite, we're like on these crazy cliffs, right? These cliffs that are, cause you got to go through mountains and then you go down into the valley, so to speak, to get into Yosemite.
Guessing you drove her car.
We rented a car.
Okay.
We rented a car. And, so, you know, we're driving or whatever, and my mom, I hear her talking. I'm asleep. I get up, and I wake up, and they're, like, on the bend of this curb where we're, I don't know, 40,000 feet in the air.
Probably not that high.
and I'm just, we're at the top of this mountain. Think about the highest mountain you could think of, and we're driving along the curve of the top of this mountain, and I see that. I'm going to just go back to sleep. I'm just going to go back to sleep. I don't like it. I don't like heights. So then we get into Yosemite, and I guess it's some great just visuals and pictures and stuff mm-hmm. like that. But we're so high up. Mm-hmm. Like, we're so high up. And, yeah, I didn't like that. I didn't look over the edge, nothing like that. I don't mm-hmm. like that. We end up going to this one spot where we saw this waterfall. Beautiful. Mm-hmm. Absolutely beautiful. And like I said, it's just jaw-dropping to see all that stuff. I told my wife, I got to salute her. because even though I may do some of this stuff kicking and screaming, because it's not really my thing, I'm glad I experienced that stuff. That, like, she's the outdoorsy person. She's the woodsy person. I wouldn't do it. So I'm like, oh, man, all right, man, let me just do this. When you get there and you experience it, at least, like I said, I went to Yosemite. I saw this stuff, man. It's really cool. They kind of, we got on some trails. They were climbing these rocks and stuff like that. It was almost like Drop Zone all over again. Remember, so I told you a story about Drop Zone, mm-hmm. where she goes to get on it. And I'm mm-hmm. like, I can't be looking like no punk. So Reese and her, they hopped the fence. They weren't the only ones. Everybody was doing it. They hopped the fence off the trail, climbed these rocks and get closer to take a picture. And I'm like, somebody got to go watch out for them. So I hopped the fence and climbed the rocks too, do all this stuff. And, you know, got some good pictures out of it or whatever. But it was really dope. It was really dope to see. Good. They went off the trail one time and they were going up this forest area closer to like more rocks. And I'm walking with them. I got my hiking stick. I'm walking with them, whatever the case may be.
Do we have pictures of you and the hiking stick?
Yeah, somewhere.
Okay, good.
I'm sure Jazz, you know Jazz what to is do. Listening. Pictures are somewhere. I think I might have a picture or two. But they're walking, and Jazz is up there with Reese. And I'm like, let me go make sure these people are okay. I don't want nothing to happen to them. And I'm walking up there with them, and they get by these rocks or whatever the case may be. And Jazz goes, all right, well, you know, you just got to be aware now, because now you're in mountain lion territory. I said, that's enough for me.
Do you remember the rules I taught you?
No, I would have died. The birds were starting to tell. I think the birds were working with the mountain lions. Like, they started making noise to let them know, hey, there's somebody here. Yeah. Food's here. Yeah. If you want some.
Right.
I said, come on.
That's
guys.
How it works.
I said, we've gone far enough.
Okay.
We've gone far enough.
And you guys turned around, or? Yeah. Jazz and Ryan kept going.
Jazz Candy and Reese and my mom, they were down on the floor, like on the street.
Okay.
I went up with them a little bit.
Got it.
And then when Jazz said that, I was like, all right, it's time to turn around, guys. That's enough. Like, you're right. We are off the track a little bit. We are in these mountains. I can picture a mountain lion coming. Yeah, let's go.
The birds were looking for vengeance. Well, they're like, yo, we know who you are.
They know. I don't have no problem with the birds, man. I try to let them know.
They tried to alert the mountain lions that you were there. Like, I think that's beef.
I don't have no problem with birds. I wish it's one-sided. It's one-sided because I don't have no problem with the birds.
And I bet Steph Curry has no problems with France, but they hate that guy now.
Right.
You know, there's that.
So real quick, there was a moment. So in the midst of, like, no connection to your phone, nothing like that, there is like a Yosemite lot. Remember Charlie told us before he left, he's like, hey, when I go with my family, they drop me off at the lodge. Mm-hmm. And I said, you guys go mm-hmm. do that. I found that spot.
Okay.
And it was popping.
Okay.
It was popping. Like, we drove by it, and I saw the TVs in there, and I'm like doing the math. I'm like, bro, it might be like fourth quarter. Like, I might be able to watch this thing. So at this point, we're kind of tired. We're trying to look for a parking spot. We were going to go get something to eat, all that. Like, it was popping. The problem was, it was too popping.
Oh.
We couldn't find a parking spot. So we ended up parking off the side of the road and took a little quick nap there. Or else I would have been able to see the fourth quarter.
Okay.
Damn. Just this close. This close.
And then you guys just turned around and drive back?
Yeah, we were there from, you know, my lovely wife. When we take a trip, we're going to be there all day.
Yeah.
Disneyland. We was there from 9:30 to 1:45 a.m.
Oh.
That's what we do, I guess. I, you know, when I'm with wifey.
What you could possibly do there for that long? But
trust me, the payoff was great though, because we did see the final parade of lights or whatever.
You could have gotten there at 6 and seen.
Well,
that.
It wasn't dark. We could have gotten there at 6. I just go where I'm told to go.
No, I understand. So, smart thing to do.
So this situation is no different. We getting up there, Jasmine Griswold, we getting up there at 5, and we're going to the sunsets. So we were there at 6, 7,
mm-hmm.
left at about 7 or so. And, we going down the hill. I had to stay awake this time for that.
Oh, you had to drive down the hill.
No, she drove. She drove. I offered. She was like, nah, like, I'll drive. And, all right.
Did you get your glasses? Is that why she didn't let you drive?
No, I didn't get my glasses yet. I took the oh man, that's a whole nother story. Well, boy, right. I was blind as a bat. Blind as a bat.
Coming up later, how Kenny was thrown out of the optometrist office. Stay tuned for that. Back to USA Basketball.
Real quick, I'll just tell you guys real quick. They have this thing where you put your eyes in this little machine so they can tell, and they're like, all right, do you see this flickering over here?
Mm-hmm.
I was like, yeah, I see it. I was like, every time they give you like a controller. And they're like, every time you see it, click it so mm-hmm. you see the flickering. And I was like, all right, cool. I put my eyes in there. Boy, it was about 20 seconds before I clicked that thing. I said, I know. I'm feeling bad. I'm like, bro, they're going to think I can't see nothing. I was like, I know they didn't flick this thing in the last 20 seconds. And 20 seconds comes eventually. I see one. Yeah, there we go. Click it. It was about 15, 20 seconds.
Doctor, was this thing broken? Is this right? Okay, it's cool.
So, yeah, my glasses, they'll be taken care of soon. Right. We'll be taken care of soon. Well,
there's other ways to take care of it, but whatever.
No, we're not going with the laser.
Hey, shout out to Tyrese Halliburton. Tyrese had a terrific sense of humor regarding his role.
He did.
I thought the picture he posted was fantastic. And then I read this morning, I guess he had some sort of leg injury.
Mm.
Like, he had something enough to warrant an MRI.
Okay.
So he got an MRI over there. I don't know. I mean, he didn't play in the first game versus Serbia.
Mm-hmm.
Neither did Tatum. So, and that held true in the second game versus Serbia. So that might not have really been a factor. It could have been a factor versus France, though I'm sure that game wasn't exactly what USA expected. It was probably a little more difficult than they thought it would be. But shout out to Tyrese, man. I thought his post-gold medal game antics were hilarious.
The whole time, Tyrese had a great attitude towards what was going on. He understood what it was.
He's next, and he knows it. Yeah. And that's a fine place to be when Steph Curry and LeBron and Kevin Durant are out there.
Absolutely, man. I agree, man. I salute him for the way he handled himself the entire time. And even, you know, in the games, we mentioned it, but it's worth mentioning again, in the games, like he the first one up,
mm-hmm.
you know, dapping everybody up, you know, making sure everything's taken care of. And that's the type of buy-in you need on a team like a Team USA, you know what I'm saying? Like an all-star like Tyrese is saying, I'm going to play the role of being the supportive bench guy or, you know, the cheerleader or whatever the case may be. So, salute to Tyrese for sure.
Tyrese is going to be there next year, next Olympics, to the 2028 Olympics. He knows it. Anthony Edwards is going to be there next year, and he knows it. I'm not really sure what the Olympic team looks like after that.
Mm.
And this is the difficult part about what's going to happen between now and Los Angeles is everyone, you know, KD particularly, because LeBron was pretty honest. He was like, I can't imagine playing again.
Mm-hmm.
He acknowledged, he said that last time too. So who knows? But he was like, I can't imagine doing this again 4 years from now. Whereas Kevin Durant was like, yeah, I don't want to rule it out. Like, I love this experience. I love doing this. And of course, USA Basketball embraced that. I told you that I'm not of the belief that Steph Curry couldn't, mm-hmm. if he wanted to, play in the 2028 Olympics. But we're going to experience a range of emotions over the course of the next 4 years. And we're going to experience more specifically a range of actions.
Mm-hmm.
Because while the World Cup, as it's called now, is far more prestigious, if you will, across the world, it's not here.
Mm-hmm.
And you're would be lucky to get a B team for the World Cup.
Mm-hmm.
You're probably going to end up with something between a B and a C team, mm-hmm. for the World Cup, which, by the way, is still going to be very good. But is it going to be good enough to compete with Serbia? Is it going to be good enough to compete with, you know, whatever powerhouses are out there?
Mm-hmm.
And so you're going to see like this flux of change over the course of the next 2 years. And then you're probably going to see another dramatic change in about 3.5 years as the Olympics, as Los Angeles, as the chance to win a gold medal at home gets closer. You're going to see some people who maybe said some things 2 years from now,
mm-hmm.
saying completely different things 3.5 years from now.
The one thing I'll say for that, though, is I think you might get a little bit more continuity with the World Cup and the Olympic team than we did this time around.
Mm-hmm.
Only because I think some of these guys have to establish themselves. So when you think about it, it was like LeBron, Steph, KD, all these other guys saying, I'm not playing in the World Cup. I'm playing the Olympics, but I'm not playing in the World Cup. That's because they're LeBron, Steph, KD, all this other stuff. Donovan Mitchell, Cade Cunningham, I don't know if they have the cachet. I mean, they can do what they're the best. They're going to be the best players on that team. But do they have the cachet to say, nah, Grant Hill, I'm not playing in that. But, yeah, definitely I'll be there for the Olympics.
Yeah, they might not have the cachet with USA Basketball, but at that time in the league, they might have the cachet in the NBA. Where it's like, no, we'd really like you here. Like, I'm not going, man. I'm sorry, I'm not doing that. And then, you know, the time comes around, Donovan Mitchell, and just using Donovan Mitchell as an example, he said nothing of the sort.
Right.
Oh yeah, no, I'd love to play. I'd love to play in the 2028 Olympics. A lot of guys, like the Redeem team, was a commitment. That's what Mike Krzyzewski demanded. He was like, we can't throw this together at the last minute. You have to be with this team. And that's what they did. That's probably not going to happen again, especially with this particular team, where there's going to be, at least we think, some dramatic turnover. And I'll give your boy a lot of love. Steve Kerr did the same thing. You talked after the Serbia game how impactful Devin Booker was in that game. I thought Booker was really good this entire Olympics.
Yes.
He basically did whatever they wanted.
Yeah.
Like, whatever they, like, he wasn't the Devin Booker that we see with the Phoenix Suns. And I actually wondered if he could play that way. Like, could he pull back and let, could he pull back and be the fourth best player on the floor, third best player on the floor, whatever. And man, he did, and in doing that, he elevated.
Yeah.
Like, I thought, I mean, Devin Booker grew by leaps and bounds over this Olympics for me.
He was fantastic.
I remember them saying something similar about Carmelo in 08. Like how Carmelo, his entire approach to basketball changed after the 2008 Olympics. I wouldn't be shocked if that wound up happening with Devin Booker. I look at Devin Booker so favorably right now, I might think differently about how I feel about Phoenix. Like, that's how much he impressed me in this Olympics.
He was fantastic. The thing, and I think his approach to the game will change, and it was a growing experience. And he's going to be better because of all this, for sure. The only thing that I would say when it comes to regards to Phoenix is...
Yeah, I just checked in with myself. I actually haven't changed how I feel about Phoenix. They're a 50-win team. But
the thing with Phoenix is... they're going to need him to score 25 a night.
Yeah.
So he can't pick up full court and be this defensive stopper.
But if Brad is cooking, can he pull back? Can he pull back and let Brad, and, you know, KD is as consistent as of a player as there is. And I'm not talking about not doing what he does. I'm talking about not forcing anything and letting Brad and KD be the ones to lead that particular game.
Maybe. I think KD obviously can be that type of guy. I don't know if Brad can be at this point.
I think we've talked about this before. I feel like Kevin Durant is the easiest teammate in the world. For the caliber player that he is, his ability to understand a game and understand his teammates and know, it only happened like four times, but Kyrie and James are, let me make sure that they're cooking today. Let me make sure they're in their best position. He seems like the easiest dude in the world to play with. Like the easiest superstar in the world to play with.
Absolutely. I could see that for sure, man.
The video, by the way, since we're talking about it, of Devin Booker riding away on a bike was really amazing.
I hadn't seen that.
You didn't see it?
No.
So the caption is Devin Booker left the club at like 6 a.m. after the gold medal game on a bike. Like a bicycle, not like a motorcycle, like a bicycle.
Yeah.
And he just rides off like Debo rides off on the bike. And I kept looking at that like, this is funny. There's no way NBA security let him go to the club with nobody.
Yeah.
So either NBA security was trailing in a car or a different bike, and they were just playing along with the shot. But I just kept watching this like, there's no way. There's like... I won't go 0% chance because I'm not there, but I'll put it at pretty damn close to 0% chance that they let Devin Booker go out to a club with no security and then just leave on a bike. It's a great visual, though.
I got to find that for sure and check that out. I think at the same club, they showed this. It's only, well, I don't know. Maybe my sense of humor isn't like everybody else's, but somebody had a post and they were like, LeBron is like unintentionally hilarious at all times. Did you see him get out of the car? This, I'm exaggerating a little bit, but yell at the kid for running up on him, and then 5 seconds later start dancing.
No, I did not see that.
And the guy, LeBron, gets out of the car.
This was in Paris?
Yeah, LeBron gets out of the car. He's going like into the club. I think it's the same club everybody went to,
right?
Like Team USA party. And he gets out, and this kid, maybe about 13, comes up and like, LeBron, LeBron, LeBron. And LeBron's like, hey, no, man, hey, I'm just saying, like, chill out, all right? And keeps walking and takes like about 5-6 steps, and they're like, hey.
Poor kid came up for an autograph of LeBron, beat a kid.
And then starts dancing. So
I spent, there was a thread over the weekend that was titled something like, all of the times LeBron James was hilarious or something.
Oh,
like
that was a solid one.
I spent a very uncomfortable amount of time on that thread.
My favorite ones were the old Instagram posts.
Oh, the old Instagram posts, man, are
come
crazy.
On, man. I need that. Somebody got to tag me, man.
The old Instagram post is it's LeBron James with the phone out like this. Like, hey. D'Lo and KC, like, all right, Bron.
There's one was the camera zoomed in on his face, like Windhorse or whatever. Bronny and Bryce on the back, like watching Looney Tunes with the kids before they go to school. It's the weird ass selfie or whatever.
LeBron is hilarious, bro. He is
all of the times that records came out, and like he's acting like he knows every word on the first day it drops. Oh, those are so good. So
LeBron, hilarious, man.
You know, I think it was over an hour. I'm going to be honest with you. I was just sitting on the couch with my phone.
Oh, it gives that type of content?
Between the replies and the quote tweets, boy, I was there for a minute.
Well, this new one got to go on the list, man. He tells the kids, hey, come on, man. Like, chill. Don't be doing that. Yeah. I'm just telling you right now. Hey,
I need to go see
there's,
this.
There's legit different genres to like LeBron's lying and just like hilariousness or whatever.
Yeah, absolutely.
When we come back though, I want to put a bow on the Paris Olympics in total and like look forward to some LA stuff. But also, I found something that predicted the next USA men's basketball team, and I want to see if you guys think this is gold medal.
Okay, I think I found the video.
Oh, no.
Oh, hold on. 1, 2, 3, 4 steps, 5 steps, 6. Oh, hold on. Oh, there he goes. All right.
Come back. I mean, he just got on the kid. Hey, back up, bro. I'm telling you right now. Don't be doing that, okay? Hey.
Oh, that poor kid. It's D'Lo and KC. Brought to you by Sky River Casino. Get in on the action. Sky River Casino is the place to play. With 2,100 of the newest slot machines and over 80 table games, sky is the limit at Sky River Casino. Oh, man.
Bow, bow, bow.
Ben Staples out here fighting for Jason Tatum.
We will avenge Jason Tatum.
I haven't gone back and watched the whole game. I plan on doing that tonight, probably. But and I didn't see like the box score. How much did Tatum play? He played in the championship game, right?
He probably played like, I don't know exactly. He probably played like 5-7 minutes total, I think.
Yeah, he didn't play a ton, but he definitely played. Good. It wasn't that different than the Serbia game. They didn't make a lot of changes in the fourth quarter.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there were like 8-minute, you know, get your rest going into the fourth, and then it was we got to go with the big dogs. That game was a fight the whole way through.
Yeah.
Until Steph just decided it was over.
Decided it was a what a moment. I tease a little bit with Greeny talking about like calm down with one of the greatest shots or the greatest shot of all time. But that's an all timer. Like, let's not get it twisted. That's not a November 2nd shot against Milwaukee that he's talking about. That is an all-time basketball shot for sure, and it deserves to be in the mental basketball Hall of Fame for everybody that's a basketball fan. That was epic. And Noah, shout out to our guy Noah Eagle, man. What the calls?
He was so good.
The calls he had there were fantastic.
He was so good. I was so thankful Draymond Green was nowhere to be found other than, you know, getting into moments that have nothing to do with him. I was really happy he wasn't involved with the broadcast in any way, shape, or form. And I think one of the biggest winners, there's two clear-cut winners of the Olympics. Snoop was one of them.
Mm-hmm.
Man, I think the other one was Dwayne Wade.
Dwayne Wade was really good.
I think Dwayne Wade, really good. With these new television deals in place, making some friends at ABC, he is a team analyst.
Mm.
Like, he's a top guy in the game. He's very enjoyable to listen to. He talks in basketball terms, but in simplistic basketball terms.
Mm-hmm.
He's very easy to relate to. He lets his emotion be a part of his commentary.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought Dwayne was like a 10 out of 10. Like, he was a huge, huge winner.
I agree. He was fantastic. He can do it the way he did it with just being by himself as an analyst. But I think if in a three-person booth or something like that, I think he could really shine because he's got another person to bounce some stuff off of.
I think three-person booths are tough, but if you're getting like the Doug Collins type, the Hubie Brown type, like the X's and O's type of guy next to him, like, sure. I don't think he needs it, but
He doesn't need it, but I think he could be – I think about, like – and maybe this was just a one-on-one, but the dynamic of Mark Jackson and Jeff Van Gundy, I mean, they were able to bounce things off of each other during a game, and they had a timing, they had a flow, and all this other stuff. I think D Wade could be that type of number one.
Not to the A1 NBC team could be Noah and D Wade. Mm-hmm. Like, there's no reason that it couldn't.
It could be. I think it's going to be Tarico. I think he's.
Yeah, I'm sure it is. Yeah, but I'm talking about the way that Noah called the game. Yeah, like, he was good enough.
That was fantastic.
I feel like nowadays too, people don't let that stuff like breathe, like the two-man booths. It's always getting switched now, one way or another. Yeah. Something like, it's always getting mixed up.
Well,
I feel like that's an issue too.
Whatever you choose, I'm a big believer in this. The only time, like, I was like, yeah, maybe you got to go get him, is maybe Jason Witten. But, like, let these people be together for a little while. You know what I mean? They always, I think they're so reactionary to social media and comments and stuff like that, that if they get bad reviews after 1 year, oh, got to get them. It's not going to ever work.
I think a lot of that's ESPN. Mm. Like, 'cause I don't feel like TNT did that.
No. Like, although they never really had a consistent.
They switched up because like Marv retired.
Mm-hmm.
So you had to make some changes there.
Fox is going from, well, Buck and them left, but they went to Greg Olson. Now they're going to Brady too.
That's the tough part. Like, but Greg Olson was a placeholder, and everybody knew that. Like, Greg Olson got that job basically to keep Brady's seat warm, which is really weird because he won an Emmy.
he was really good.
He's really good. Yeah, and he won an Emmy as essentially the fill-in guy for Brady, and now Brady's coming along, to take that spot. So it's difficult, but your point is 100% valid. They get antsy with this. We saw it for, it felt like a decade on the Monday Night Football cast until they got Gruden in there.
Yeah.
They kept trying to switch things up, and since Gruden left, they haven't been able to get things right.
Right. They TNT, I know a lot of people aren't particularly fond of him, and he's not like perfect, but they stuck with Reggie Miller as like their A guy or whatever the case may be. I'm okay with it. I think Reggie, he whether it's comedy, whether it's annoyance.
The state of Chicago in Illinois.
Oh, okay. About the city.
Reggie's not bad. He's like goofy.
Yeah, he's a little corny, but it's fine. He's a character. It's almost like how we felt about Bill Walton, right? He was a character on the broadcast, and we loved that. I feel Reggie Miller has the same thing, but the whole point was they've stuck with Reggie, right? Mm-hmm. Regardless of people saying, oh, he's terrible, get him off here or whatever, they've stuck with him. He's still there. That's almost part of the viewing experience, right? Like being able to, yeah, to joke on Reggie Miller. Yeah, and I think he's fine.
I could just do without, like, oh, De'Aaron Fox hits the deck. Oh, my God, his neck could be broke.
That's the idea. You got a point.
His neck could be snapped in half. I'm telling you, I'm seeing a vertebrae. Kevin, look it right there. There's a vertebrae.
I'm not a doctor. They might have to cut his foot off.
Like Reggie, like, why do you do that every single time? And the best part, the absolute best ones is when he goes, you know, I don't want to speculate, but he may have just ripped his MCL, PCL, ACL, and Achilles. I don't want to speculate, but, whoa, he's just moving funny, Kevin. I don't know.
And then it's tough when the guy's just jogging off, playing the next minute.
Well, playing a little possum down there, Kevin.
Well, look, to be fair and defend Reggie Miller here, he's probably doing Laker games, and Anthony Davis is the guy he's talking
that's
about.
That's not nice. First of all.
Yeah, no, that was crazy.
That's not okay. What, that man just won a gold medal. Why'd you do that to him? What did Anthony Davis do to you?
That was a chair shot.
I got a picture of you and Anthony Davis together. It's a paint. It's a mural.
The people who be putting that out there need to settle down, first of all. Second of all, the guy gets hurt, but that's what happens. He goes down. He's got to go back. And then 4 minutes later, he's back in the game.
Leave the man alone.
You don't have to say that. You're not wrong, but you don't have to say it.
You know what I'd love, though, as we look up at the TV? I know this is tremendous sports media journalism on my part. I love this kid right here, Victor Wembanyama. Mm. And, like, his game, his approach, whatever. That quote after the game was like it. Mm. The where he said, "Yeah, I experienced this loss, and you know, I don't remember the exact quote. I feel sorry for all of my competition." And the guy said, "The person said, the FIBA or NBA? He said, both." Mm. I was like, "Oh, okay, I like that." And I saw someone quote tweet and say, "This is his villain origin story." Like, oh, I'm all about this. I just love that approach.
Yeah.
Like, that is the approach to have. Like, you can't tell him he's not going to win the gold medal in 2028.
Yeah, now, he's everything is a competition. Mm-hmm. And everything is a slight or something to build off of, whether you're winning or losing. Like, if you lose, like, yeah, I'm about to avenge my loss or whatever the case may be. If you win, now I got to make sure don't nobody catch up with me, you know. And that's why that's one of the reasons why he's going to be great, because there's going to be no complacency there. There's going to be a constant chip on his shoulder type mentality, something to prove, somebody to beat, whatever the case may be. He's going to be special. And 2028, man,
Yeah, you say?
I don't know.
It's tough. Yeah.
I don't know, man. The Team USA is still going to be fantastic. We've got some great ball players, you know, that there should be lined up to play. But the world is here. The world is here.
Yeah, but we also got to take into account Tyrese is going to be 4 years older. Ant-Man's going to be 4 years older. Paolo, Cade, they're going to be 4 years older. They're going to be further along into their games. Then you're going to have guys like, I don't know what Tatum, you know, wants to do in the next Olympics, but I have full confidence he's still going to be a top NBA guy at the time.
No, they're going to be great, no doubt, but I think it's going to be even playing field. Like, so I saw, I think it's FanDuel. Yeah, it's FanDuel Sportsbook. They had a prediction for the men's roster in 2028. And they've got, for the guards, they've got Ja Morant, Anthony Edwards, Devin Booker, Donovan Mitchell, Cade Cunningham. For the forwards, Tatum, Zion, Paolo, Jalen Williams, Cooper Flagg, who could be one of them next ones, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
And the bigs is Bam and Chet Holmgren. Wait, what France is about to bring to the table? I look at teams like Germany. I look at Canada. I even look at South Sudan. And give them 4 years to build their programs. I think we're going to be even, and that's okay. There's nothing wrong with that, because that's the way the game is going. But I think this was the last year, potentially, that we could sit up here and say we better win or else, like, because we're clearly the best team. Everybody that we have on our roster, we better win. We're the best. I don't know if we're going to be able to say that in 4 years. I think it's going to be a lot more even.
Well, I think you left something important out, and Jeremy mentioned it. Oh, Keegan the Olympian got us.
If that happens,
don't worry.
Then yeah, we good. Also on here, on the list, remember, this isn't mine. This is FanDuel's, and I disagree with them. They don't have Tyrese Halliburton, who I think will be back.
They don't have Tyrese Halliburton on the 2028 team? Mm-hmm. Oh, that's crazy.
Yeah, I think he'll definitely be back.
That's crazy.
On that squad.
I'm not saying Tyrese went this year for 2028, but like, Tyrese knows the game of USA basketball.
I would say you probably take off Jalen Williams. No, they might keep him on. It feels like maybe Ja would probably be the one that's off.
Ja?
Yeah.
How come?
Was he
got a decline coming? Like, what do you mean?
No, just, I think Team USA, Grant Hill, all these guys. Well, if you're choosing between Ja and Tyrese Halliburton, I think they'll go with Tyrese Halliburton.
Yeah, like.
You think Ja's going to play in the next Olympics?
Yeah, I do.
When I ask that question, it has nothing to do with his game. Nothing to do with his game. Just what he's been through, you know, as of recently.
Yeah.
And do you know how it is? I mean, unless things change, you know, because Grant Hill's in charge now too. But they think about the image and all that other stuff when they talk about Team USA.
Yeah, we'll be 3-4 years removed from that. So unless Ja really, unless
spotty behavior, I don't even want to say.
Yeah, that. Unless there continues to be an issue there, I'd be stunned. Like, I feel like Ja would. I'd go so far as I think Ja would be a cornerstone of the team in 2028.
He should be, for sure. And
you know,
for him, I'm hoping it happens.
Zion?
Yeah, that's spotty. That's spotty.
And again, this isn't about his game. This would be about him getting hurt the April before the Olympics.
That's spotty. I would, the two of the ones that I have questions here is, and I like Jalen Williams, so I could see it happening. The guy's got game. But Jalen Williams and Zion Williamson, those are the ones I don't know.
Mm. You guys think Jalen Brown and Team USA are done now?
No.
Jalen, he should be on this list too then.
No, I don't think they're done. I think there's more fences to be mended.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.